better never rest. Organic colors in the sky. What a thrilling
time to be alive. What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. We're from Dogs HQ, and the post-game show is presented to you by Bulldog Snacks. Bulldog Snacks, Bulldog Bar, Bulldog Cookies. Gotta have it. Going over to bulldogsnacks.com. All right, that'll get you over there. Sign up for a fan pack. Get that fan pack, and that will enter you into a sweepstakes to potentially win a tour of the Georgia facilities, a VIP tour at that, and a chance to look at the Georgia practice, you and three others. So that'll happen later on in the year. But go buy that fan pack and get yourself involved as soon as you possibly can, because Bulldog Snacks is awesome. The cookies are great, Rusty. The bar is awesome, too. And another SEC win is also awesome for Georgia. Get back to the winning ways there.
Yeah, man. Listen, you don't have to look any farther than what just happened in Nashville with Alabama going down to Vanderbilt, how tough it is on the road. I think Arkansas just scored on Tennessee to start the night, and it's just tough, man. It's tough to win, and Georgia at times today looked flat. At times it made some plays, but, man, another win. I tell you what's crazy is Georgia is 17-3 in their last 20 games against Auburn, and one of those was the Hail Mary. One of those was the Auburn play. So, I mean, they very easily could be 18-2, which is insane in this series to be 17-3 the last 20 games against Auburn. It's crazy.
The three teams that Auburn has had that have beaten Georgia in that stretch that you're talking about all were in the national championship picture into the postseason. Every single one of them. Two of them played for it, and one of them Georgia beat again in that 2017 SEC championship game. So Georgia's absolutely dominant. This was actually my 14th straight Georgia Auburn game at home. I've been to every one of them since I went. I done my first one in 1997, and we've talked about that 97 game. It was a lot cooler then than it was tonight or today in Athens. But Rusty, I think you hit on something, which is, this is the same Georgia team we've seen in large part. I mean, I think it was better. I think it was cleaner. I think they're kind of coming together and kind of raising their floor as both an offense and a defense, and they're doing a good job of kind of doing what they've got to do when they've got to do it. And I do think this team's getting better, but just the ups and the downs are crazy. The stretches of bad and then the stretches of great. Like, it was on two straight plays, Rusty, there, I believe, in the fourth quarter. Carson Beck has Oscar Delp open behind the defense. Listen, great call. It was a great call because Oscar Delp had two steps right there. Beck steps into the throw and makes an accurate throw, and it's a big play. Look bad. Just back down to the throw. Yeah. Well, he comes back on the next play, and he navigates the pocket like a pro and puts the ball on the money and looks like the quarterback you expected him to be. There's no doubt in my mind that player's there for Carson Beck. I'm just trying to figure out kind of – when that's going to get unlocked and if Georgia can figure out the way to get him to consistently play that way.
Yeah, Georgia goes 7-for-14 on third down. They go 2-for-2 on fourth down. They go 4-for-4 in the red zone. And, you know, if I told you that before and said, hey, this is what they're going to do, they're not going to have any fumbles, not going to have any interceptions, you think Georgia's going to put up 45. But, you know, they put up 31. Jake, I mean, you start to get a sample size, and kind of this is kind of who Georgia is. They're going to have to grind some games out. It's not the most talented offensive team that they've had. Doesn't mean they can't win every single game that's left, but they're going to have to find some ways. Right now, they're having to manufacture these drives. They're having to manufacture so much to score. You know, the lack of explosive plays at times is what really, really kind of, you know, like where are those plays? But you know, I'll tell you this, man. The positive is with, and this is what I like. Don't know that Nate Frazier's ready to play. Probably not. But when he's in the game, they're a freaking different team, man. That guy's got
some juice. There's energy. There's energy.
I saw you tweet that out. And that, you just got to figure it out. You know what I mean? You just got to figure it out, and you got to play him in samples and get him in there and say, okay, look, we're not going to get you in pass pro at this play. You know, just go be an athlete. Go be who you are. I think this was Trevor Etienne's best game. So, I think the run game there, you really like what you see. You want to get some more explosive. You're obviously going to work on that. But man, 31-13, another win over Auburn. Still some things to clean up. Defensively, still some things to clean up. Tackled a little bit better, I thought. Peyton Thorne got him on a couple times on some scrambles. But other than that, I don't think the game was really ever in doubt. I think Georgia was in complete control. He got hairy a couple times there. But are you surprised Kirby Smart went for that in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I was. That really surprised me. I mean, I was rolling my eyes. I was thinking it was another freeze play. And then when they went with that, it really shocked me.
From the gun, they snapped it. And I was like, man. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think that says something too about, you know, Georgia's 2 of 2 in short yardage in that game, mm-hmm. in terms of a fourth down short yardage in that game behind Drew Bobo at center. I mean, I thought that was, you know, you'll take away a positive. You're able to put a guy in like that against a formidable. I mean, listen, I know Auburn's 2 and 3. A lot of that was turnovers, which was something that did not plague them tonight. That Georgia was not able to get one of those off of Auburn. And at some point when you've got a team like that and they're sitting there harping on their turnovers, they're going to get it fixed or they're going to limit it. They're going to take care of the ball. And I thought Peyton Thorne took some sacks tonight that maybe he would have forced out of there. To get rid of it or threw some balls away. But overall, I mean, Georgia held them 13 points and you know, obviously three of those were kind of after the game was put away. So it's tough to really argue with the results there and what Georgia was able to accomplish.
I haven't seen the grade. I don't get the all 22 tape and you break it down more, but I tell you who I think played good and he's not going to show up in the stats. I think Damon Wilson played pretty good. I think Damon Wilson set the edge. I think Damon Wilson played a little better on the perimeter run game. And I'd be interested once you get to your pieces and you start digging in, some of these other guys break these things down. I think Damon Wilson, number 10, is a guy that Georgia is really going to need. So be interested to see what you think about that and how he played. But I think that's a guy that played pretty good. Jalen Walker, obviously you see him braced up. He's gutting it out right now. I thought he played another good game. And Raylan Wilson, those guys. So defensively, a couple things they gave up here and there. You know, some coverage at times a little bit soft. But you look at Georgia's speed, who they are, kind of took that game over second half for sure defensively.
Yeah, and nothing about this surprised me. You know, I went into it, Rusty, you knew. Listen, it's just a fact of life. Death taxes and Hugh Freeze, think of him as highly or as lowly as you want to, and I'm the latter of mm-hmm. him. The guy schemes up run so well against these mint fronts and what Georgia wants to do to try and play to stop the run. Does it against Alabama too, just mm-hmm. all the misdirection and stuff. And, you know, they had some quarterback scrambles. They had a big play that they missed a tackle on, and they had a guy in position to make the play for a minimal gain, and they just didn't make the play. I thought Georgia's run defense was fine, especially yep. interior run defense. I mean, listen, they're going to move you at times. They're going to get a couple or two or three runs there, but for the most part, you know, Georgia did a fantastic job, and that fourth down stop really helped them put the game away.
Yeah, Hunter busted one on him, and he's tough, man. You know, you start talking about the comparison to Chubb and how he breaks tackles. He had 13 rushes, 13 attempts for 91 yards, but he had that one for 38 for a touchdown. So you take that away, and they really don't give up much. Take that away, and they give up 99 yards. If you take that run away, they give up 99 yards rushing, which I think they would take that. I see Peyton Thorne. He had 13 carries for 22 yards. You know, Trevor Etienne, man, 16 carries, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Nate Frazier, 7 carries for 38 yards, average 5.4 yards a carry. Here's the thing, receiving Trevor Etienne, this is what we talked about all offseason, what he could do in the pass game. Trevor Etienne, 6 catches for 36 yards. He had 42 yards after catch, so that means he had a negative play there a couple of times. So you look at that with you know, what you saw today at number one, that tells you what Georgia can do with him moving forward.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say, Rusty, is you know, you talk about ETN and those catches, and Cash Jones got an opportunity, and Branson Robinson got an opportunity. There were a lot of checkdowns tonight. Or today, and I think a large part of that was Auburn was dropping its middle field defenders, those linebackers, when they read pass, they were getting depth, and they were trying to wall Georgia out of the middle of the field, and Georgia was trying to throw the football in front of them and kind of take what that was given. And I think that ended up kind of resulting in a lot of these kind of little bit of a choppy drives But Georgia was able to kind of convert those short yardage and get those drives going. And almost every single one of those drives, you talked about the lack of explosives. I 100% agree. Like, you don't want to be leaning on 10-play drives. Like, they're great. Yeah. You'd love to have them. They're awesome. But if you got to lean on them, that's not what it is. You know, I think it's kind of a balance from last week when Georgia was putting together some of these 6-play drives. And then, you know, you got this week, they're kind of – but once they get them started, they tend to hit an explosive and then get in the end zone pretty quickly. They're finishing them at a really, you know, really good rate. And I think, you know, like the second straight week, I mean, Georgia's got a little bit of a red zone streak here going. You know, some of that is the ability – is how you arrive into the red zone. Like, if you're getting into the red zone at the 2-yard line, then you're going to have a good red zone percentage. It's kind of like first and second down leading to third down. But Georgia's doing a good job right now finishing off drives. That is a positive for the offense. The negative is there's no rhythm. Like, but I will say this, you know, touchdown, field goal in the second half. I know the defense helped you by getting the ball in plus territory for you, which was helpful. But touchdown, field goal to kind of put the game away right there. Especially after Auburn had cut into the lead, had cut it down to 14-10. That was a hell of a response. That was actually a really, really good response from Georgia.
Yep. You like to see that. And I take that as a team that knows how to win. That's a team that's won a lot of games. That's a team that's lost one regular season game in 4 years. So a lot of those upper class kids, they know how to finish off a game, know how to win one. And today did it again, Auburn, and, you know, kind of looking at, couple things. Monroe Freeland, I thought, came in. You know, Xavier Truss got beat on that play, and then he had a personal foul, didn't have his best game. I thought Monroe Freeland came in. He came in too some for Ernest Green, who went out with an injury, who did come back into the game. But I thought Monroe Freeland picked
seven. Even saw some Monroe Freeland at right tackle and Xavier Truss at right guard in that game. Georgia used some combinations there on the offensive line, you know, with Tate Ratledge out, you know, kind of getting some guys right. Kirby said after the game that Jared Wilson was unable to go, which was odd for me because he was listed on the – you know, I think it probably had something to do with reps. You know, like, could they have used him in an emergency situation? Probably. But lack of reps this week as far as practice, you know, kind of holding him out. You know, Bobo definitely didn't cost George anything, I didn't feel like. I just think, Rusty, when you start to look at this offense, man, and we'll get to the defense here in a minute, but when you look at the offense, I know folks have higher expectations, and I think they're warranted. Like, I really do. I think folks should have higher expectations for the offense. It's just so odd how, you know, sometimes it's drive by drive. Georgia always has an answer on the next play. You know, like it has one on those, but the ones where it doesn't, it's just like anything that gets in their way kind of, you know, causes them to stall out. I will say that first half looks so much different. You're sitting there third and one in plus territory, deep into their territory, probably already in field goal range. And then you rip off a run with Trevor Etienne, you get a holding call, and then you're third and 11. And then you take a sack. Carson Beck, you know, kind of lose a couple more yards. You know, that missed a scoring opportunity right there. That's something maybe you're thinking a little, because Georgia only touched football four times in the first half.
Yeah, when you go back and look, that one sack that he took against a three-man pressure, and I don't know what he didn't see, but, man, you're going to see Lawson Lucky come across the middle. And Auburn had a busted coverage. Like, he's on a mesh route, and he comes across, and Lawson Lucky is wide open. Yeah. Like, he is there. He's there for 25-yard gain minimum. And, look, you can pick that apart sometimes. When you look at that's those little plays like that, is what you got to hit, especially against a three-man pressure, and you get a bust kind of in a zone coverage. Somebody obviously voided an area they weren't supposed to, and you look at Lucky, he was wide open there, and for whatever reason, Carson just held on to it a little bit too long, and I thought he could have hung in there a little bit longer on that and step in there and throw that, but that's getting a little bit picky at times. Let me see what his final stats were. They were –
yeah, it was a solid day.
23 of 29. Two touchdowns. Turn it over.
This is a Jake Fromm special, is what this is. This is a Jake Fromm special.
23, 240.
One of those 100%. Just rock solid 23, you know, 23 of 29, 240. You know, what's that, about 8 yards completion, maybe nine? You know, kind of in that area. Hit a few explosives. I mean, you had three over 20 yards, three over 25 yards in the pass game. You know, Colby Young, London Humphreys, Lawson Lucky. That 33-yard pass, Rusty, was on Georgia's first possession, was Georgia's first pass play of 25-plus yards this season in the first quarter. That was the first explosive they've had in the first quarter this year, at least to that level. And, you know, big reason why Georgia was able to get to the end zone there. They also, I believe, had a couple of runs over 20 yards. You know, Trevor Etienne had several over 15. Dylan Bell had one. And Nate Frazier had one, too. So, listen, I mean, 5.8 yards per play is not going to, you know, go crazy. You know, 381, you know, total yards isn't that great. But, listen, I mean, you're talking about a team. The games just kind of feel like they keep getting a little bit shorter. Georgia touched the ball nine times, and that includes the end of game, you know, kneel downs. You know, just eight possessions in that game, eight full possessions, and one of them was kind of in 2 minutes with a short field.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, golly, how quick does this game go? Like for Georgia offensively, but eight possessions, and it's got to find ways, man. Got to just keep getting, keep staying after it. Till you get to where you can get the most you can get out of this team. And I think Georgia's got pieces. I think people sometimes, you know, Georgia's got pieces. Are they don't have what they had last year. You can just, they don't. I mean, that's just that they don't. But they've got guys. They got guys. They got to find out what they can do with some of these guys. And I tell you, Lawson Lucky's starting to come on. I know he had a ball that he went up contested. I think he's blocking better. The two plays you kind of look at and go, let's see what we got here. London Humphrey, twice in the fourth quarter, goes in and makes plays. The guy's been – he's been out. He got sick, you know, and kind of behind some things. So he's in. You look, you get, you put Frazier in. I keep wanting to see Jaden Riddell. And I will say this, for as much as people have been on – and I've been one too with Jurasek, Ben Jurasek. I kill his name every time. Ben Jurasek. I thought, you know, just off what I watched today, I thought he played pretty well, especially on that reverse to Bell. He had a long, he had a block. He had to hold on for a long time out on the and he was able to hold that. So
you're not going to hear me and you talk about guys like some folks tend to talk about guys kind of play, make fun of them and stuff like that. But but this is about as close as I'll get. It didn't stand out for a bad reason tonight. You know, like it didn't. You didn't see that kind of you know. There were a couple of good plays that you saw in real time. They kind of worked out for him, and he kind of helped Georgia a little bit. And still, I mean, listen, it shocks me that he's not involved in the pass game yet. You know, Rusty, let's talk real quick about the defense. I mean, listen, Auburn put up, let's see. I mean, here's the thing. They put up 340 total yards or something like that. They came into the SEC. They came into this game, and I know the competition level plays into it as – you know, the most explosive team, I believe, in the SEC, or one of the top two in terms of explosive plays. You know, quietly, Auburn has a pretty effective offense. They just turn it over too much. But if you start to look at the next 337 yards of total offense, if you start to look at the numbers a little bit, one of the things that I noticed was, you know, you got 83 in that fourth quarter. Going into the fourth quarter, before Georgia put that game out of reach, Georgia had given up less than 300 yards of total offense. So ultimately think, you know, kind of a lot of that was trash yardage, but solid performance by the defense. Ben, don't break. Still making some mistakes, but I totally expected it, Rusty. I knew that Auburn was going to move the football today because that's just what Hugh Freeze does with that game.
He's done it against Kirby at Alabama. He did it last year. I mean, he's given Georgia issues with a quarterback that can run, and you know, Peyton Thorne got him a couple of times. They were in man-to-man coverage and ran off, and he hurt him, moved the chain. So,
yeah,
you would expect that. You would expect those types of things against them. And I am trying to go back and think. I felt like they had a little bit of pressure. Tyingham Dawkins, especially early, gave that left tackle some problems. That left tackle was struggling. I know people are texting, and that's a comment about Christian Miller. We don't know yet. You know, he came out of the game and he was ruled immediately out. So we'll try to figure that out for Dogs HQ and try to figure out what's going on there. But, you know, overall defensively, I think that's what you get. Ben, and don't break and play pretty good red zone for sure.
Absolutely. Rusty, let's talk about Bulldog Snacks one more time before we get out of here. Listen, the Bulldog Fan Pack is what you need. 36 bars, 10 bags of cookies. They're really tasty. Rusty and I have tried them. They're awesome. Go get that fan pack. It, the money goes to the proceeds from the sales of these cookies and these bars goes directly to benefit the Classic City Collective. It is the official snack of Georgia football and the Classic City Collective. And whatever you buy here, it goes into the athletes' pockets from a proceeds standpoint. Mm-hmm. There's a partnership there with the collective, and we're glad to be partnered with them as well. Go buy a fan pack, 36 bars, 10 bags of cookies. Get immediately entered into a sweepstakes where you can win a VIP tour of Georgia's facilities and a trip to practice later on this season. I believe our man Wes Howard said it was going to be in November. So check that out. And Bulldog Snacks, man, I tell you what, I've been eating them a lot. I probably shouldn't be doing that because I'm probably gaining a little bit of weight. But the Bulldog Snacks are awesome, dude. They are great. They are absolutely great. Yep. I'm having to be a little bit more subdued here because I'm in the press box and I'm not even sure if I'm – giving anybody a hard time right now.
Getting a little quiet up there. So, big day in recruiting. Big day in recruiting. Dogs HQ got all you covered on that. You saw who was there. We'll just give you one name, CJ Wiley, the five-star, the Florida State wide receiver commit. He pops in town, and several others popped in town. And several other 2025s committed. So, we got all the latest that on Dogs HQ. And as we get into the night, and I mean, you're sitting here and you think about Georgia and you're like, they could, you know, I wish they'd beat Auburn 60-0 or 70-0, but you could be Alabama right now and you got head scratching on what's going on. What does Kirby Smart
survive, say? Survive, advance, and get better.
Yeah, humility's 1 week away in SEC. And, you look at Arkansas here already playing Tennessee tough on the road at night. We'll see how this thing goes. And that's another one. My man D Will 21 says, I'm in Nashville. I might go downtown. I can tell you right now, I don't know what Nashville, if they need a boost, but there's going to be a lot of Vanderbilt fans down there on Saturday night that have, you know, what's crazy, guys, was Alabama fans in town. You know, you saw the stadium. It was 85% Alabama fans. I mean, it's like winning on the road, man. And so those Alabama fans are in town for the weekend, and we've seen it with Georgia fans and those types of things. So, you take these wins. Georgia's got another home game and next weekend. It's going to be 4:15 kickoff. And I'll say this, too. I had a couple of buddies that are tailgating, and they hit me up this week, so they bought these for the tailgate, and I can stand by the Bulldog Snacks, man. I don't have to – we've met our kind of requirement on advertising. I'm telling you right now, those are Rusty Mansell approved. So you get those this week for your tailgate, and – like I said, BulldogSnacks.com, they are going to – a percentage of that goes to the Georgia Capital Collective that helps fund the University of Georgia athletes. So, there you go.
All right, guys. Listen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night to discuss this game a little bit further and to kind of look ahead at Mississippi State. But for the post-game show, Georgia wins 31-13 over Auburn. That's 8 in a row. We'll catch you later.